I would like to share with you, maybe for the next 15 or so minutes, what I've given some thought and prayer to, of how to begin to have you people train yourselves as convert makers. Shortly after I began teaching my Jesuit scholastics, we were there for 4 years of theology, and we were 50 miles from a major city. In many ways, the fellows were anxious, eager to get moving. They had spent 3 years at least in teaching before coming into theology. Here they were marooned on a square mile of land, 50 miles from civilization. So what I did, I organized what I call the Bellarmine Correspondence School. Had about a dozen Jesuits, all volunteers, and trained them to teach people the faith. Those, in other words, who went back to become a Catholic. The advertising did not take too much advertising. And I know for certain that those 12 men brought in over 200 persons into the church. I'd like to have you do, until we meet next week, and I'll give you some written homework if you don't mind. And you don't have to fill a page, you can fill more than one page. Type, word process, write whatever you wish. And if you wouldn't mind making a copy of what you give me. And I would like to then dispense you from questions for next week. Is that okay? And then a week from today, if I may ask for an input, because I would like to get you people moving and putting into practice something of your knowledge of the faith to share it with others. So, Bill, if that's okay then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So then, on Our Lady, if you turn in the questions, I'll turn them in. They would go over those 25 questions, is it, on Our Lady, 2 weeks from today. But next week then, if you would turn in, well, turn in, let me see so that we can discuss and reach some practical decision, not necessarily next week, but in the near future, of setting up a correspondence program for, you know, teaching people the faith. You see the value of that? There are not many places where you can go and be assured, bona fide, authentic instruction of the Catholic faith. But what we cannot do physically, we can do, say, by correspondence. And what I would do then is put together a course. Some of you may remember years ago when the Sunday Visitor Press had a course called Father Smith Instructor Jackson. John, do you remember that?
What was it again, Father?
Father Smith Instructs Jackson.
Yes, I do remember that.
Was that in the 40s or
50s? So one volume.
I think it was the 40s.
Very simple. And people will take that course, and it has a heyday. I don't think I'm guessing. Thousands of people are brought into the faith. Anyway, Now, whatever input you can provide, I'll go over that first. You won't necessarily discuss it at length next week. I think we should wait so we don't mix things up, because I thought it would be wise if we began to exercise our apostolate as Ignatian catechists. And this is not hypothetical. Of course, we'd have to get our feet wet in working with people. And once people finish a course of instruction, then we'd have contact with reliable priests in the different dioceses to whom these trained people could go and either finish up their instruction or be formally received into the church. Okay.
So, Father, you want us to more or less brainstorm?
Yes.
And come up with ideas how to implement this.
How to implement. In other words, I've been doing this over the years. So, to start a program that would be advertised nationally, we will need somebody to be in charge of the program. So, the word brainstorming is right. It does not take a lot of capital. But one reason that I recommend this, I have found with my own Jesuits, it helped them immensely to learn their own faith by having to explain that faith to others. Make sense? First, I would like to get from you, I did tell you, didn't I? And I would like to get from you whatever you've written. Let me share some ideas with you. First of all, my own background, as I think I briefly told you the last time we met. Since I began teaching theology to my own Jesuit scholastics and priests, I have been not just encouraging, but organizing programs for encouraging people to either recover the faith if they've lost it, or become Catholics if they are not, they're Christians but not Catholics, or convert them from scratch if they're not Christians, never baptized. And this is part of my training of the priests that I taught. And of course, since my work over the years, I began in 1951 to teach theology. So this September will be 40 years I've been involved in theological education. And the Lord has been very good to me. Over these years, my work has been academic, and consequently, to be myself personally involved, you know, in, you want to call it street preaching or whatever, totally out of the question. On the other hand, from the year of my ordination, my first converts were my first summer as a priest here in Detroit, at the university, but after my ordination. So I've been instructing converts over the years. I don't believe in 40 years I have ever, it was every a month, maybe even a week, certainly not a month, that I was not giving someone instructions in the faith. And I can tell you this, you need it. This is part of your training. In order to appreciate your faith. Now, if you are a convert yourself, that has helped a lot. David, you say it makes a difference. You're not having to have a faith. Calvary Faith, and then found it. And the appreciation, I think, is much deeper, humanly speaking. Now, God's grace, of course, works on everybody. But humanly speaking, most of the people, most of us, of course, have been almost even born into the faith. But instructing converts, in other words, I can tell you this, the instruction of converts is part of your apostate is a nation catechist. Am I clear? It's part of your responsibility. And now the instruction can, of course, cover a number of levels, which we'll talk about more in detail later on. So, the value, apart from its apostolic importance, just the sheer value to your own faith is incalculable. You will have to know your faith in a way that you've never either had to know it or would have had to know it till you began instructing others. Question you've never asked yourself. Ideas you never had before. And above all, you will learn there's all the difference in the world between knowing the faith and sharing it. And the sharing is not only, say, knowing the language of the faith. And what you will also learn, let me tell you, you will learn. You will learn, you will be only as effective as an instrument of grace to sharing the faith with others as you are yourself living that faith. And nobody cheats here. You know, having taught over 600 of my own Jesuit priests, and as I look back over the talent, all above average, but from A to Z, in terms of, you know, intelligence and the grasp of, you know, of the truths of the faith. Yet, am I being recorded now? I am now, eh?
It was just making a clicking sound, Father.
Now let me then.
You were recorded the whole time.
I was recorded? Because you can't imagine the circumstance that I've been in, you know. And then, gee, Father, I forgot to press the button or. So, convert making, as it has been called over the years, let me say this. The very term conversion or convert or converting or convert making has almost gone out of vogue. You almost have to apologize for using the word. Well, bring it back. Because the primary meaning of conversion is turning away from creatures and turning to the Creator. That's the primary meaning. Now, there are people who are, you may say, totally turned away from God, but they are the rarest exception. Most people have some knowledge of God and have some response of their wills to the will of God. So that convert making includes converting sinners. In other words, to convert is turning both the mind and the will from creatures to God. We commonly and correctly associate conversion with the very word instruction, means enlightening the mind. And it is that. And Christ, remember, in his parting message before his ascension, told the apostles, go and teach all nations, which is surely instructing the mind. But then remember, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. The purpose of instruction of the mind is to move the will from self and sinful creatures to God. And let me tell you, this is so basic. As we understand this, and I would welcome any comments, questions, or objections, it is absolutely basic to understand that convert work does indeed involve instruction of the mind. Teaching people what presumably they don't know. But, and what a difference between two concepts of education. One understanding of education being that you will enlighten the mind, teach the mind, pour knowledge into the mind. And the mind is a bottomless pit. Any one lifetime is much too short to learn, to say the least. My gosh, everything knowable. The purpose, and this is important, the purpose of instruction should be to motivate the will. So the will then will conform to the will of God. That is Christ's mandate to the apostles.
The term formation, I think, is used.
The term?
Formation.
Formation? Okay, that's all right. Forming. Then we have both forming the mind, we can speak of forming the mind, and forming the will. And as you see, not just in the present context, but our English language is so, and I have to repeat it, is so un-Catholic. We just don't have the words. Well, the words that we have, that we use, are being used, shall I say, are being abused. Either not being used, so we hardly know their meaning, good Catholic words, or they're being used in a totally different sense. Not only different from, but even opposite to what we mean. So we've got to know what we mean by the words we use, and those words as a concept. And those concepts, of course, is the possession of the truth. So that conversion is indeed instruction. But then to form the mind, in whatever words you use, it doesn't really matter what word you use, provided your mind understands what we're talking about. The mind must be taught certain truths revealed by God so that then the mind, having knowledge of those truths, might provide the will with what the will can want or desire. See, the will is going to desire. But the will can only desire what the mind knows is not a platitude. So depending on what the mind knows, the will is at the mercy of the mind. So that on whatever level convert making or conversion work is indeed instructing the mind, so the mind in turn might provide a constant, ongoing, not just daily, but the word daily, as you know, has two meanings. Like, for example, our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer mean both daily and the saints of each day, and providing food and thirst for the mind. And I made sure that I get back from Washington in time to be here, well, for our, what shall we call it? I want to call it a class, our session. But may I ask you, what is the only food that can nourish the human mind?
Truth.
What'd you say?
Truth.
Truth. Burn that into your memories. So that then the first purpose of convert making or conversion work is to teach the truth. And of course, to teach the truth about God, about ourselves, about our relationship to God, and about our destiny. The four pillars of convert instruction. Teach people about God, teach people about themselves, who is man, what is man. Teach people about God's will for man, and teach people about their destiny. Who remembers what is the basic, most fundamental definition of truth?
Correspondence of the mind to reality.
That's good. The word that I usually use is conformity. Conformity of mind with reality. Conformity of mind with reality. And millions of Americans have minds indeed. Their minds are not in contact with reality.
That's of course extramental reality.
Please?
Reality outside of us, Father.
Here.
The reality outside of us. In the definition of truth.
Say that again.
Okay, in the definition of truth, there's the reality outside of us and the,
well,
and the inside.
And also, because there's reality,
yes,
you know, in ourselves, we've got to know. So, the basic definition is conformity of mind with reality. The mind has got to know, you know, for example, that it has a mind. That's quite a discovery, to know that I've got a mind. That's a reality.
Too bad Pilate didn't know this.
Please?
Too bad Pilate didn't know this when he asked, what is truth?
Yeah. He was talking to the to truth. To truth incarnate. So he should have changed his question. Not what, but who is reality? Or who is truth?
In the four pillars of the Convergent Father, it's interesting to note that that's the same kind of sequence that St. Thomas followed in writing the Summa Contra Gentilis and the Summa Theologica. What is God? What is man? God's will for man, and then our destiny.
A little other,
I'm sorry. In the four pillars you have of conversion.
Yes.
That's basically the same order St. Thomas follows in writing his great works, Summa Contra Gentilis and his Theologica.
So without realizing him, because what do we know we've learned from others? So, thanks. But that's it. And I can tell you, Mojula Khan, convert work from that perspective, it takes on a totally different dimension, because how would you answer this? Who should be the first object of all convert work? Ourselves. And as you know, Saint Benedict, remember, besides the three standard vows of religion, as we call it, of poverty, chastity, and obedience, he added two other vows. The vow of stability, remaining for life. I had lunch this noon with a Benedictine from St. Meinrad's Abbey, and they take a vow of stability. They remain for life. Members of, and to be obedient to, the abbot of what monastery? For life. Called the vow of stability. And was the reason for that? Because already in Benedict's time, that's almost 1400 years ago, there were a lot of wandering monks. That was Pelagius' problem. Remember, the heretic who denied the necessity of grace. He traveled too much, and he was scandalized by what he saw. He stayed in the monastery, he wouldn't have been scandalized. So, there are.
You said stability was one. Vow
of stability. In other words, allowing oneself to obedience to the abbot of the one monastery for life. And then the fifth vow is the vow of conversion of morals. Conversio morum. Taking a vow that I will work in my conversion for the rest of my life. And that, by the way, is not an unimportant vow to take. That I will work in my conversion. Benedict assumed we all need to be converted. Okay. Now back to the various kinds of convert work. First of all, there is the conversion of those who are estranged from God. Now, here, just so we can classify these, I would speak of these people as persons who are baptized into the Catholic faith, have professed the faith, but had given up the practice of their faith. In other words, they have may still possess or profess, claim to be Catholic, but are not living their faith. And that kind of conversion, called a moral conversion, is basic. And I think we should begin to classify, first of all, the people with whom you will labor, who become estranged from God, though they may be professed Catholics, but are just not living a good moral life. Okay? And that, by the way, we should all end by now. I can tell you this. This is now June the 18th. By the end of this year, in 6 months, and you won't expect this, I want all of you to either have already either brought back a stray sheep or brought someone who had not had the Catholic faith into the Catholic Church. Whether you finish your work by December the 31st of this year, hopefully you will even finish the Gaudete, the sorted instruction that I had, was of Lee Atwater. Less than 2 days. When a man is, or a woman for that matter, when they're open to the truth, time is unimportant. There are people dying in Detroit that should be baptized before they die. In my 16th year in working with Mother Teresa and her sisters, they are sent, Missions of Charity, to the United States, hear it, as a mission country. There's a lot of work to be done. I would like to have all of you get your feet wet with a figurative speech by the end of the year. So that's the first kind of conversion. Maybe it's from estrangement from God to the service and obedience to God. Normally, however, contrary making is conversion into the Catholic faith of those who have never even been baptized, or from, say, some non-Catholic denomination to the fullness of the Catholic faith. However, I want to emphasize, and I've seen this, you are not really successfully converting a person, and the verb may be used, converting somebody. You are not really doing that unless, while you are instructing the person in Catholic truth, you are also motivating them to obedience to Catholic morals. Am I clear? There have been too many people, how well I know, too many people who became Catholic, professed, public figures in fact, but have never really been duly motivated so their wills would submit to the will of God in obedience to his laws, especially to what I consider the three most difficult virtues to practice: humility, chastity, and charity. I wouldn't even venture in order in which I would place those virtues. Which is the most demanding or hardest on human nature? Humility, charity, and chastity. And this is why, may God forgive those who are putting people through elaborate programs. Our CIA is only one, well, polysyllabic term to cover. I repeat, may the Lord forgive those who are instructing people and can spend months, a year or more, but they themselves are not obedient to Christ's moral teaching. Am I clear? And that humility, of course, means humility in obedience to a visible authority instituted by Christ. And chastity. Every state of life, marital chastity, celibate chastity, yeah? Single chastity. And, of course, charity, which, even to combine a word like charity and law, or commandment, when we hear Christ saying, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. But in English, it doesn't quite add up. Because in English, our understanding of a command or a law is something which is binding in justice. And the very combination, the command to love. Command to love. And you know, this is unjust. You might say, displaying the concept, profound depth that has to be explained to people under obligations.
What's a better word, Father?
Well, it's better in English, but that's what Christ used. In other words, in the Old Testament, this is where we have been. Oh, how brainwashed we've been. And as though the Old Testament is all justice, obligation, command, and even synonymize those words. And the New Testament is love, is charity. How can you possibly say, as a person has the faith and understands the faith, won't even know what you're talking about? How can you talk about a command to love? Well, Daniel, your question raises all kinds of things which we'll go into, Lord willing, as we handle these. But it's the will of converts that must be duly motivated to live up to Christ's very demanding teaching. I'm still on convert making. Now, there is one dimension to convert work in a country like ours that I would say was practically unknown even a generation ago, 25, 30 years ago. It was known, but rare, no longer rare. And that is of persons who had been believing and professed Catholics and who have as they believe, thought themselves out of the Catholic Church. Now we can say, and in the practical order we should say, that no one can really think himself out of the Catholic faith. There's a defined Catholic doctrine which states that anyone who has professed the Catholic faith can never abandon that faith without grave sin. That needs to be repeated. The Church teaches us that anyone who has professed the Catholic faith cannot abandon that faith without grave sin. And the Church even gives the two basic reasons why nobody can abandon the Catholic faith without grave sin. We are first because there are no justifiable reasons. The mind cannot be convinced to abandon the faith. Can't be done. Cannot be done. And the second reason is that God will never be wanting with his grace. That's why the phrase, which people joke about now, once a Catholic, always a Catholic, is really an article of faith.
What extent does this apply to someone who is maybe baptized Catholic but never really given the faith to where they profess it?
Well, good question. Then we have to explain what we mean by professed Catholic. And of course only God can judge. But my own explanation in teaching the theology of faith, for my students, a professed Catholic is one, and not necessarily an adult, is a person who has professed one speaker, I think. A professed Catholic is one who not only believes in the Catholic faith, but has a sufficient understanding of his faith to make what we call a rational act of faith. And the key word is rational. Well, of course. However, the word adequate can mean two things. It can mean they have not been as instructed in the faith as they should have been. That's obvious. But adequate can also mean that they have not been sufficiently instructed in the faith so that they could abandon the faith without grave sin. That I'm not ready to admit. You follow me? Because then part two of the Church's teaching comes in. In other words, where there has been inadequate instruction, there will be a corresponding abundance of grace. And I've seen this. Saturday night, I went to Traverse City. Week before, I didn't even know I was supposed to talk in Traverse City. But I was reminded that I was supposed to talk in Traverse City, so I made all kinds of adjustment, changed my ticket and everything. And there, Traverse City is not a big metropolis, to speak on the new age. And for Traverse City, we had a hall filled with people.